So happy to be here with you all this morning. It's a great Sunday morning, and yesterday we were able to go and see Megan and Elena doing their fine arts, and Megan's going to Nationals for both of her vocal stuff, and Elena was preaching, and she's going to Nationals for that. And so I thought I should just have, I half thought about having Megan just come up here and give Elena come up here and give the message, but here I am. I'm happy to be here. A number of years ago, I was reading that a 14-year-old student in Eagle Rock, Idaho, did a simple science project. He went around asking people if they would support banning a dangerous chemical called dihydrogen monoxide. He went on to tell them that this contributes to corrosion, it's found in cancer tumors, and if you inhale it, you'll die, so it's very, very dangerous. And so, of course, all the people said, wow, that really sounds dangerous. I am 100% in agreement that we should get rid of this. We should ban it. I'm going to sign it. Give me a petition. I'm going to give it to my friends. I think 43% of the people said that they wanted to ban it. And there was one person that said, wait a minute, the hydrogen monoxide is just water, H2O. And the experiment that he did revealed something important. When people don't have the truth, fear can easily take over. Amen? And if we're honest, that describes much of the world around us today. Fear dominates the headlines. Fear fuels a whole bunch of conversations about the future. And people are afraid of what might happen tomorrow, next year, or even later today. But in a fearful world, God speaks a promise to each and every one of us. And through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke to his people during a time of uncertainty and trouble that they were going through. And so if we all stand and read the word of the Lord together, please. And I'd like us to all read this together. Okay? You ready? Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Amen. You may be seated. That is such a powerful verse of Scripture. And notice something important in there. God doesn't say, don't be afraid because nothing difficult will ever happen to you. No, he says, don't be afraid because I am with you. The reason why we as believers in Christ can live without fearing is not because life is easy. It's because God is present with us each and every day. Emmanuel, God with us. And in this one verse, God gives his people a foundational promise. He says, I am with you. He says, I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. And not only that, he says, I am the God who will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's my right hand. Stop for effect. And the truth is, this is something that we hold on to firmly as believers, because God is not distant from us. He's not uninvolved in our lives. Through his Spirit, he is present with his people, strengthening us, guiding us, helping us stand firm in a world that's full of fear. And so when fear surrounds us, the voice of God still speaks to each and every one of us clearly. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. And so I want to make something clear. Not all fear is bad. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord, which leads to wisdom, reverence, and obedience. That's good fear, fear of the Lord. It's a healthy fear, not being afraid of God. It doesn't mean that we're cowering or afraid of God. We're having complete awe and reverence for Him, obeying Him, submitting to Him in everything that we do, worshiping Him in awe. God also gives us common sense fear. If you remember when our kids are little, and even sometimes when they're older, we tell them, don't run out in the street. You got to be afraid of that car that's coming pretty fast. And so those are healthy fears that God gives to us. But the fear that steals our peace is that's when God invites us to trust Him instead of that fear. And the good news is this, the Bible speaks directly to our fears. Because again and again and over in His Word, we see these words, do not fear. Do not be anxious. Fear not. This verse has been with me over the last few years. As a matter of fact, at work, we had a lady who just started working, and she has a verse board in her office, and she was going around asking people, what's your favorite verses, what's your life verses, and just me being me, I said, my favorite verse is everything from Genesis to Revelation. But then I told her, I said, well, one of the verses that's really been speaking to me recently in the last several years is Isaiah 41:10. Because our family has walked through loss, health issues, car problems, other challenges, and I know many of you have faced trials as well. And so this is a verse of Scripture that kept coming to me over and over again. So I want you to hear God's word this morning. Because God still says to us, do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And to understand the power of this promise, we have to first look at Israel's situation during this time when Isaiah was writing this. And so the context here is that God is promising to bring His people back from captivity. And it's worthy to note that Isaiah is writing this about 180 years in the future. He's talking about a future event. Even before God's people sinned and were judged and were sent to Babylon for 70 years, God is telling them that they will return and He will bless them again. Because He is a gracious and loving God. In Isaiah 41, God confronts the nations and their powerless idols, declaring that He alone is the one that rules over all history. And while the nations trusted their fragile idols, they even propped them up so they wouldn't fall, the Lord declared that He alone directs history. And He is the one that raises up the leaders, and He is the one that takes them down. And then God turns to His people, and He says, but as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I will not throw you away. It's a wonderful promise. And notice the tender personal languages that God uses here. He says, you're my servant, my chosen ones, my friend. I am the one who has chosen you. I am the one that will not throw you away. And so originally these words were spoken to Israel to remind them of God's covenant faithfulness. Even in uncertain times, the Lord had not abandoned His people. But the Bible also teaches that through Jesus Christ, believers are brought into God's family, and we can share in these promises. Scripture tells us that all the promises of God find their yes in Him. Paul explains, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And so through faith in Jesus, we are no longer strangers to God's promises. We are part of His family. And it's the same faithful God who strengthened His people, His chosen people, that strengthens us today. And I'm so thankful for that. As believers, we rejoice in an even deeper reality that God not only dwells with us, but he dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. So when we face fear, trials, or uncertainty today, we can stand on this truth that the God that spoke these words to Israel is the same unchanging God, and through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit, we have his presence, his strength. It's real in our lives, today and every day. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so God continues to tell us this. And so I want to look closely, and last month I did mention this verse in my message, and I wanted to kind of go through it a little bit more today. And so I want to look closely at this wonderful promise that God gives to us and see how it shows us that God is greater than your fears. And I want to keep saying that God is greater than your fears. And the first thing is that we see the promise of God's presence. It's the promise of God's presence. Isaiah 41:10 begins with this powerful promise. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. We often live in a world where it's always me, me. Give me this. What can God do for me? What can you do for me? You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But God says, I will. I will. I am. I am. I am the one who will hold you. I am the one who will strengthen you. I am the one who is always with you. Because fear often grows when we're alone, if you've ever noticed that. And so that's why it's so powerful that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is always with us. And that's why God repeatedly says in his word, do not fear. Psalms 46:1-2 says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. It says it right there. He is our refuge and our strength. He is the one who is always ready to help us in times of trouble. And then it says, so we will not fear. There's that word again, not fear. When earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the seas. Because God is always with us. Isaiah spoke to Israel during frightening times. Exile was coming, foreign nations and idols were surrounding them. They may have wondered, has God abandoned us? How many sometimes think that too? But God answered them, and he answers us today. I am with you. Not just someday, but every day. I am with you, always. He reassures them. I didn't put this in the notes, but if you want to jot down to the right of your notes, Isaiah 41:13, Isaiah 43:1, in Isaiah 43:5. Because right there in that small context of Scripture, God keeps saying, I am with you. I am with you. You don't have to fear. I am with you. God had to keep reminding them of this. Why? Why did God have to keep reminding them? Anyone? Because they were afraid. They were fearful. That's why God keeps reminding us. Why does he keep reminding us? Because we're afraid, we're fearful. We need him. Do not fear, do not be anxious. It's found over 300 times in God's word. In order to face our fears, the first thing that we have to remember is that God is with us. It's the promise of his presence. God's presence is not only a future promise, because he's always going to be with us, But God's presence is present tense. God's presence is present tense. Paul echoes this with confidence when he says in Romans 8:31, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Jesus promised his disciples in Matthew 28:20. He said, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." And then what did he say after that? He said, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" And so right there in those three verses, we see that he is with us, he is in us, and he is for us. Right here, right now, always and forever. If you can imagine a small child lying under a bed during a fierce thunderstorm, the wind is howling, the lightning flashes, we've had that just the other day. And when our little children were younger, they were terrified. They wanted to come in our room, or they wanted us to come in their room, and they were afraid of these storms and the thunder. But when we hold on to their hands and we comfort them, it's somebody bigger and stronger that's comforting them. The storm hasn't stopped, but the presence of someone stronger transforms fear into courage and peace. So God never promised Israel or us that we would avoid hardship, but he promised something greater. He promised that we will never be left alone, that God's presence is our strength in every single trial that we face. And so maybe today you're walking through a dark season. You may not understand the outcome, but God's promise remains. Do not fear, because I am with you. I am your God. I am the one that is strengthening you, because God is greater than our fears. As we look toward the cross and the empty tomb, we see the greatest assurance of all, that Jesus did not remain distant from our suffering. He stepped into our world. He bore our sins. He went to the cross for us. And he rose victoriously. And he's not only with us, but through his Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us. So when fear rises, we remember this truth that we are never alone. The risen Christ strengthens us. He is always with us. And because of that, we can go in confidence daily, knowing that he is with us, because God is greater than every fear that we face. The second thing we see here is the promise of God's relationship. The promise of God's relationship. Isaiah 41:10 continues, "Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed," some things say. "But do not be discouraged, for I am your God." Do not be discouraged, because I am your God. Notice that personal language there. God doesn't just say, "I am God," which is correct. He is God. He says, "I am your God." It's personal. I am your God. That's covenant relationship. When it says being discouraged or dismayed, it means anxiously looking around for other things. I think sometimes we do that when we're fearful. We look for other things, just like the pagans during Isaiah's time. They had to prop up their gods, but they would fall over. And God chose Israel not because of their strength or their merit, but because of his love and his covenant faithfulness. Even when they failed, and they did, just like we do. He did not abandon them. In Christ, this promise becomes ours because our sins are forgiven through his blood, because Christ offered himself once and for all as a perfect sacrifice for sin. We are part of God's family. We are his. He loves us. And we're united with him forever. And we can truly say that he is my Savior and he is my God. And when God says, I am your God, it's not just a title. It's a deeply personal relationship. He chose us. He redeemed us. He draws near to us when we draw near to him. We can't earn his affection. He reaches out in grace and he calls us his own. And I love what Isaiah 41:8 says, because I love it because he says that he chooses and befriends us in Christ. He chooses and befriends us in Christ. And so if you read what he said in Isaiah 41:8, but as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend. In John 15:15, Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Remember that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? This is how I want to be described. God's friend. There goes Keith, God's friend. God's child. God's own. I used to go on retreat with my dad and my uncle and cousins. And so this was a silent retreat, but if you know me and my cousins, it wasn't really silent with us. But right, Pat? So when we were on retreat, my dad and my uncle would go, and my cousins. And so there was a common room where we'd go and we would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so I was coming out of my room because we'd have all our different rooms that we would stay in, and we could go in there, and there's also a little fellowship hall where we could go and we can talk and just have, you know, we don't have to have that silence. And so I remember one time, and this happened actually several times. It's happened before, but I remember it specifically here, is that I was walking to go to the common room, and you could hear as you get closer to that room, even though the door was closed, you could hear people talking, and all of a sudden I would hear somebody cough or even clear their throat. And as I'm walking, I'm like, that's my dad. I know his cough. I know the way he clears his throat. Sure enough, I walked in there, and there he was sitting there, because I knew it. He was my dad. He's my dad. So out of all those people in that place, I recognized him instantly. Why? Because I knew him. I had a relationship with him. He's my dad. That's what relationship with God does. We recognize his voice. We are his own. We experience his presence. We don't just believe that he exists. We know him personally. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can cry out, Abba, Father, as Galatians says. And so discouragement often grows when we forget who we belong to. Because so many times the enemy loves to whisper to us, you're alone, you failed too much. Hey, God's done with you. The enemy loves to whisper that. But my friends, the cross declares something better. You are loved. You are redeemed. You belong to God. The resurrection proves that God's promises never fail. So today, I want you to remember, God is not a distant God. I want you to remember today and every day that He is your God. He is your God. He has made you His own. Because of that, I'm going to say it again. God is greater than your fears. The third thing is the promise of God's power. We see the promise of God's power. Isaiah 41:10 continues, I will strengthen you and help you. I will strengthen you and help you. God doesn't just offer comforting words. He promises something real. Strength and help. When Isaiah spoke these words, Israel was facing overwhelming threats from powerful nations. Their survival did not depend on their own strength, but God's strength. And my friends, God sees our weaknesses. He knows what we're going through. He knows our fears. He knows our struggles. But He doesn't just leave us there. He promises, I will strengthen you. He takes hold of us, and He will never let us go. No matter what comes, we can walk forward with confidence because God is our strength. He is our help. He is the one that is with us. He is our refuge. He is our fortress, our God in whom we trust. He empowers us by His Spirit to stand firm and bear witness because God strengthens the weak. God strengthens the weak. Isaiah reminds us at the end of chapter 40, before we get into Isaiah 41. In Isaiah 40:31, he says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God doesn't just help us from a distance. He renews our strength. At salvation, we're sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live boldly and bear witness in a world that desperately needs Jesus. We live in a world that desperately needs Jesus. Paul prays in Ephesians 3, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. God's power is not limited, unlike those fragile idols that we like to pop up. It's available to strengthen our hearts and our minds and our spirits from the inside out. And then Paul reminds us in Colossians 1:27, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. Because Christ lives in you, we don't have to face these challenges alone. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you, giving you strength for every trial. And one day we will share in His glory. When I was thinking about strength and help, I was thinking about, have you ever tried pushing a stalled car by yourself? Don't ask me why I was thinking that. Have you ever tried that? I did. When I was in my 20s, I was driving down the road in my little hoopty that I had stalled out on me. I don't know why. So I got out of my car and I tried to push it. People honking at me. So what I tried to do is I tried to rock it back and forth. Come on. Finally, some nice guy came up and said, hey, you need some help? Yes, please. So with him, we were able to push it up and push it over to where I'm out of the way. So suddenly, something I tried to do on my own, there was more strength behind that car, and what seemed impossible for me became possible. I could move it. That's how God works in our lives. He doesn't just stand on the sidelines just shouting out instructions. I mean, could you imagine if I'm trying to push that car and if the guy got out of his car and said, hey, if you just push a little bit or maybe you put your shoulder into it, You might be able to move it. I might have had some unnice things to say about that. But no, he came and he said, can I help you? So God doesn't just shout instructions saying, hey, good luck with that. I always think of Jesus in the boat with his disciples during that big storm. He said, let's go, get in the boat. We are going to make it to the other side. He didn't say, hey, fellas, get in the boat. Good luck getting through the storm that's coming. I'm going to walk on water, and I'll be over there, and I'll meet you on the other side. He didn't say that. No, he said, let us get in the boat, and we will get to the other side. He comes alongside of us. He says, let me help you. Let me strengthen you. And through Christ living in us and the Spirit working in our hearts, God strengthens us for every challenge. And so maybe you feel spiritually exhausted today trying to carry those burdens on your own. But God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. And that strength comes to us through prayer, through our worship. We're agreeing with the strength that he's already given to us. He's helping us. We worship him. We do it through the word of God, through the encouragement of our church family, praying for each other. That's why prayer is so important for us here at Woodland Church. Because God's help is never distant. He enters into our weakness and he gives us exactly what we need. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. My power works best in your weakness. His grace is sufficient because God is greater than your fears. So when life feels impossible, remember, God's power makes the difference. God is greater than your fears. He will give you the strength to walk through whatever you are facing. Why? Because he says, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And then he also says, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand, which is the promise of God's grip. It's the promise of God's grip. This is powerful. He says, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God doesn't just strengthen us. He holds us securely. In the Bible, the right hand represents power, authority, and victory. God is saying, my victorious power is holding you up. I am never going to let you go. And I love all of chapter 41. Go home and read chapter 41 of Isaiah. It's awesome. I love it. Because in the beginning of that chapter, we see God's courtroom. And the Lord is exposing the weaknesses of the idols. It says that their gods have to be fashioned by human hands. They have to be pieced together, nailed down, propped up, because they can't even stand on their own. Then God calls for a trial. He says, present your case. Let your idols show what they can do. Let them tell us what's happened long ago. Let them declare what the future holds. He even says, come on, let them amaze us. Let them frighten us. God's not afraid. But these little propped up idols they had, they were silent. And then God said, you are less than nothing and can do nothing at all. Then God turns to his people and he says, though you are a lowly worm, O Jacob, do not be afraid, for I will help you. And then he says, I am the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And so throughout that chapter, God continues to repeat, I am, I will, reminding his people that he alone is their God, and there's none like him. So I want to ask you, where are we placing our trust today? Some lean on their self-image. They chase approval through social media and other people's opinions. Some rely on money, careers, their relationships. Others seek comfort in entertainment, addictions, spiritual shortcuts, hoping that these things will give them control or peace. But all of these are like those idols that faltered. No matter how strong they may seem to be, they always have to be propped up. How many times do we kick them and say, come on, do something for me? But eventually they will fall. But one thing is for sure, we can completely trust in God's sustaining grip. We can trust in God's sustaining grip. Because unlike those fragile idols, God's hand never loosens, even when we stumble. Psalm 37:24 says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Our security doesn't depend on our own strength. It depends on God's unbreakable hand. God's grip is not only sustaining, it's victorious. It's a victorious right hand. It's victorious through the cross. The ultimate demonstration of his victorious right hand is Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, because it is the victory of the cross. It's the victory of the cross, because at the cross, Jesus bore our sins. At his resurrection, he triumphed over sin, death, and the enemy. And by grace through faith, we can share his victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us victory. And so the same hand now holds you, each and every one of us, victorious over every trial, fear, and enemy that we face. Exodus 15:6 says, your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. God's grip is victorious. If you think about it, we know our kids' fears. We know what makes them uneasy. And it's in those times that we know that we are going into something with them, that we know that they'll be fearful. We don't wait for them to grab our hands. We hold their hands. We grab it. And we say, we're going to get through this. And we don't let go. Many of us live in constant fear, saying, what if I fail? What if I fall? What if I can't make it? But the gospel reminds us that Jesus is not only our Savior, but he's our shepherd. And the same Jesus who died and rose victoriously is with you now. And nothing can separate you from his love. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And because of this, we can face every challenge with confidence, because he holds us, he strengthens us, he helps us. He is our God, and he is with us. And unlike those fragile things that we try to prop up, God will never lose his grip. He loves you. And so this morning, we have heard this promise from God. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not just a beautiful verse. This is the living, victorious promise from our living God. And so some of you came in today carrying grief and fear and overwhelming burdens, but God's word has a promise for each and every one of you. You do not face this alone. And so I wrote down a couple ways that we can live in his promise. And the first thing is to trust God's presence daily. Trust God's presence daily. Remember, it says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Begin each day acknowledging God's presence, recognizing that in every situation, he is with you. Write down situations that feel overwhelming. And just remember, God is with me. God is here. I will not fall. I can trust him. Second, continue to deepen your relationship with God. Because he says, I am your God. That's a relationship. We sang this morning, I have known you as my father. I have known you as my friend. He is your God. Grow in your personal walk with God through prayer, through worship, reading his word, getting to know who he is. Just spend 5-10 minutes a day reflecting on God's faithfulness. The third thing is, share God's promises with others. Share God's promises with others. I said a little while ago that we live in a broken world that needs Jesus. We have the greatest gift that we can give to anyone. Psalm 105:1 says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Proclaim his greatness. Tell others about Jesus, what he's done in your life. Don't just hold on to God's promises. Share them with others. Invite people to church. This is a great time to do that as we're getting ready for Easter. Invite someone to our Easter extravaganza. Invite someone to church, Good Friday. Share your testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. Hear the word of the Lord. God did not say, hold yourself together. He said, I will uphold you. I love Charles Spurgeon. He's known as the preacher of preachers. And I read a lot about him, and I have a lot of books on him, and I've read a lot of his sermons. And when I was reading one of his sermons about this verse, he ended with this. He said, my heart mourns to think that this text does not belong to some of you. Because you do not belong to Christ. Oh, my dear friend, how I desire that you may have this promise of the covenant for your own. If you believe with all your heart and trust Jesus Christ, these promises are yours. These promises of God, his presence, his strength, his help, his sustaining hand, they're not just words on a page. They are meant for you personally, each and every one of you. But they only become yours when you belong to Christ. But the good news is that this is not out of reach. God is calling you today to trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins and receive his forgiveness and have a new life, because you can become a new creation in Christ. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, the promise is still available. And if you're a believer in Christ who is burdened, weary, or afraid, these promises are yours to hold on to, rest in, and live by. Because the same God who upholds the universe is the same God who will hold you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for your word. We come before you now with hearts open. Lord, thank you for the promises that you are with us, that you strengthen us, you help us, you uphold us with your righteous right hand. Lord, we confess these promises are a yes and an amen in Jesus Christ. In him we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. By one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Father, we pray for those that are here today who have never trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Lord, let them hear your voice. Let them know that salvation is freely offered through your Son, that forgiveness is theirs by his blood, and that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Holy Spirit, I pray that you soften their hearts to believe and receive Jesus today. Lord, we pray for those who are believers in Christ this morning, carrying their burdens and fear and weariness. Lord, remind them that they're never alone, that you are holding them with your righteous right hand, and that they can cast all of their cares upon you because you care for them. So Lord, just help us to lay down those idols that compete with you, lay down those fears that oppress us, and lay down the sins that burden us as we offer our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, and rest in your finished work. Because the same hand that upholds this universe is the hand that was pierced for us on the cross. Father, let each person here and watching online, believer or seeker, continue to place their trust in Jesus. And may these promises that we've read in Isaiah 41 become our lived reality. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. And I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Oh, have a great day and have a great week, and we will talk to you later.